Georgia, online at ILove.
With SRN News, I'm John Scott. U.S. markets are getting slammed as the trade war between the U.S. and China escalates. Every one of the 30 companies that make up the Dow Jones Index is in negative territory. Oil prices are falling as well. The NASDAQ is down nearly 3%. President Trump meeting with the Prime Minister of Hungary in the Oval Office this hour. Swedish prosecutors say they're reopening a rape case against WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange and will seek his extradition after he has served his 50-week prison term in Britain for jumping bail. The Supreme Court allowing consumers to pursue an antitrust lawsuit that claims Apple has unfairly monopolized the market for the sale of iPhone apps. Actress and singer Doris Day has died. She was 97. A look at stocks now. The Dow is off 579 points. The NASDAQ down 233. This is SRN News.
Plenty of rain with thunderstorms today. Our high will be 81 degrees. This evening will be mostly clear. We're expecting around a 1 in 5 chance of rain tonight and a low of 65. Tomorrow, mostly sunny and no rain with a high of 85. Wednesday, sunny and a high of 83. And Thursday, mostly sunny but some clouds. The high Thursday will be 86.
Five, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engines running. Commit. Liftoff.
Hey, welcome to SWAT Radio. It's Doug McCary from His Light Ministries. It is Monday, Steve. Monday, May 13th. That's right. It is a Monday, and we're already into May, almost into June. We're halfway through May already. Be in June, summertime. Before you know it, the heat was already up like the summertime. We were feeling it this past weekend, but apparently it's raining in parts of Jacksonville, so be careful as you're driving. A little bit of rain makes it a lot tougher. I don't know. Let's see what's going on up in the big Virginia, because we got people listening up on coastal Virginia now, up in the Norfolk area. We're still glad that we've got people listening on 100.1 FM and 1010 AM to SWAT Radio. And this is our first month broadcasting up there. And you guys are enjoying and being encouraged by everything that's going on. See, up in Norfolk, it's 66, really? It was like 88 yesterday down here. So it's nice and cool up there. I know we got people listening in Mississippi and also Colorado, and we got people all over the country listening through the internet, through our application, the SWAT Radio app, and also through the internet. And if you want to listen and you're transitioning out of your car, you can just go to SWATradio.com, click on the Listen Live link, and it comes right through. But we're glad you could join us today. A lot going on. The stock market is down, which goes to show you can never put your faith in that. Of course, God's not surprised by this. Everybody's making calculations of what's going to happen. It's going to come back up. It's going to rebound. Nobody knows, but God knows. And so I just encourage you just to keep your eyes fixed on Him. And, you know, whether the market's up or down, He's in control. And so the other news, I wanted to share this. Brad is running a little late today, but I'll share this with you, that there's a move right now. In fact, they've already done it. There's an article in the New York Times that the Democrat leadership have taken "so help me God" out of the oath that people swear when they go up there, because they don't think that's appropriate anymore. They don't think that's an appropriate place for us to be making an oath before God, and they don't want God to be used. I don't know if that's really that important. Although it's just another effort. People just want to take any kind of reminders about God out of our life all the way around, and that seems to be going around. You know, in fact, if you go back to the Bible, back in, I think it's Matthew 6, Jesus, when he's teaching his disciples, talks about an oath, and he says, just let your yes be yes and your no be no. You know, a lot of times people used to use an oath to try to con people. I swear on this, or I swear on that. And they were trying to con people. But anyway, other stuff going on in the news. After Georgia's governor signed legislation banning abortions once a heartbeat can be detected, there's been more than 100 different actors and Hollywood people who are basically saying, we're going to boycott the state now. There's five different film production crews, and this is coming from our friend Jim Dennison out in Texas. He writes an article talking about it and basically saying they're going to boycott the state. That's crazy to me, that all they're saying is that there's, when there's a heartbeat of a child, that this is not just flesh and tissue. This is, there's a heartbeat there, which means this is a living being. We believe it's a living being even before that, but it is a living being that is verifiable with a heartbeat. If something has a heartbeat, it means it is living. And so the fact that they would boycott that really shouldn't impact what we do. Hopefully it won't influence them to change that. So this week we're in Matthew 27, looking through Matthew 27. We're going to be in verses 45 through 66. And if you're just joining us and you've been missing our, you know, we've been kind of dealing with the cross really for the last few weeks, and hopefully this will be something that's encouraging to you in your walk, because as believers, a lot of times we don't hear a lot of talk about the cross. In fact, there's churches, big churches, that won't even have a cross in their church because they think it's offensive. They won't preach about sin. I was talking to my dad the other day, and he just said, yeah, you guys are talking about sin, you better be careful. I'm like, what are you talking about? He said, well, a lot of people don't preach about sin anymore. They don't talk about sin. They're afraid to offend people, to use that word. In fact, a lot of people don't even know what sin is. They don't know that there are a lot of things that are sin that are what you or I would think are really not that big a deal. For instance, that we're commanded to do a lot of things in Scripture that people don't do. In fact, I mentioned it to Brad last week that in Matthew 25, that the people who are condemned as the goats, who are rejected by Christ, are rejected not because of all the bad stuff they did, but it was the things that they should have done that they didn't, like visit the poor, or feeding the poor, visiting those in prison, visiting the sick, taking care of those in need. Those are very much things that bring guilt upon us, sin guilt upon us, when we don't do those things, because we tend to be selfish with our stuff and we don't see it as God's. We don't see 100% of what God gives us as His. We see it as ours, and we try to give Him our 10% or whatever percentage you want to allocate to Him. But we need to remember that God has given us a lot of things in Scripture. The law has a lot of purposes, but the primary purpose of the law, which it really is the moral law, that the things that we should do, that God has commanded us to do, but also the things that He's told us not to do, when we violate those things, the primary purpose of the law is to bring us to our realization that we need Christ, that we are sick, that sin is a disease that we suffer from, and we need a cure, and Jesus is the only cure. But then there's other uses of the law after you become a believer, when Christ is the Lord of your life. And that use is that the law gives us a standard to live by, not only for our benefit, but to be a credible witness for Christ in the world around us. It makes us different. That was always important to God. If you look back in the Old Testament, there were certain things that He told His people not to do because He wanted them to stand out from the pagan cultures around them. And as we look at the cross, we see the incredible price that Christ paid for our sin. We see this incredible price that He had to endure because he took our sin upon his body. And that's kind of what we've been looking at back in Matthew 26 and 27. And it was a terrible price. It should make us grateful. It should make us want to follow him and want to live for him. It should make us understand how much he loves us. But instead, people tend to look inward and say, I don't want to talk about that. That makes me uncomfortable to talk about that. In fact, people wouldn't see The Passion of the Christ, Mel Gibson's movie, because they said they just couldn't watch it because it was too painful. And I think you should watch it because it's a good reminder of what he did. Even though it may not be totally accurate, it's pretty accurate. I know they had a lot of consultants that tried to make it historical and biblical, and it was pretty graphic. It was extremely graphic. But what he went through was extremely graphic. And we should remember that because of what he did, that you and I have been saved. Because of what we did, his blood paid a price for our sin. Because of what he did, we have been freed. And now we don't have to look forward to death or punishment or wrath coming from God. We get eternal life with him. We get glory. And glory is a great thing. And I just think sometimes we lose sight of that and we get focused on first world problems and other things and what I would call the temporary things of life. And even when we get bad diagnosis or even when we deal with pain, whatever it is, nothing we endure here compares to what we're getting on the other side. And Paul talks about that in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18. And so it is really important for us to look at the cross, and we're going to continue to work through that today. And we've been looking at the past few weeks. Last week we looked at the crucifixion, shows us that last week we saw three things that the crucifixion revealed to us as God laid it out: the remedy of our sin, what I've been talking about. It lays out the reason for suffering, and it lays out the rescue of our soul, the rescuer of our soul, which is Jesus. So the remedy of our sin, we saw that in Isaiah 53, starting actually at the end of 52 through Isaiah 53, you see that we have a suffering Messiah, and he is the remedy for our sin. It was part of God's plan from the beginning. In fact, Peter talked about it in Acts when he was preaching to the Jewish leaders, and he told them that this was God's foreordained plan. This was part of the plan from the beginning, that God wanted you and I to know that from the beginning he had this plan for Jesus to go to the cross. And Jesus kept trying to instruct his disciples on the cross, and they didn't get it. They didn't get it the first time he tried. They didn't get it the second time he tried, the third time, the fourth time. Even after he revealed himself up on the Mount of Transfiguration and showed them himself in his glory, they still didn't get it. And so they didn't get it until after he was resurrected, but then they got it. But the remedy for our sin was clearly seen in the crucifixion. But we also saw the reason for suffering, and it's because sin has a terrible price that has to be paid. God said to Adam and Eve it would be death, and because of their sin that was then passed down to us, we all have a sin nature. There's nobody born who doesn't have one. Even the most cute little baby, you think it doesn't matter. They have a sin nature that will someday produce selfishness and selflessness that is direct rebellion against God. And because of that, there's a terrible price that has to be paid. And that is the reason we see suffering in the world. And then the third thing we saw last week was the rescuer of our soul. Matthew focuses on our evil in verses 26 through 44 instead of the crucifixion. He doesn't say a whole lot about the crucifixion. And when we come back from our break, we're going to get into this week talking about what separation from God brings. We see that in the crucifixion, and what salvation from him brings. We see that as well. So you're listening to SWAT Radio. Whether you're in Virginia, Florida, or out west in Nebraska or Colorado, you can join us at 844-777-7928. Send any questions to ask@swatradio.com. We'll be right back.
This program has the potential to reach millions of men each week. If you'd like to learn how you can support this unique program that is helping men understand the truth about Jesus through God's Word and how to impact their lives and the lives of others, then go to www.swatradio.com. Then click on the donate link to help SWAT Radio pass on the truth for the next generation. SWAT Radio is underwritten in part by IPC Technologies. IPC Technologies offers IT and communication solutions. They offer help to organizations in selecting and implementing on-premises technologies, cloud-based solutions, and carrier services. IPC offers end-to-end solutions. Their suite of services includes engineering and implementation of services, virtual CTO services, monitoring and proactive maintenance, remote and on-site support and consulting, and staff augmentation. You may reach IPC at 804-622-7233 and online at www.ipctech.com.
Hey, it's Doug McCary. Welcome back to SWAT Radio. You're listening to SWAT Radio Live. This is a live daily men's discipleship talk radio program, practical and relevant biblical truth. And we have five SWAT groups around Jacksonville, one in Colorado Springs. And we go through God's Word. We're going through Matthew. And whatever we go through each week in SWAT, the next week on SWAT Radio, Brad and I, or somebody and I, usually sit down and we talk about it, and we're talking about how it impacts our life. And we've been working through Matthew now for a couple of years, and we're almost to the end. We're finishing up. But if you're in Jacksonville and you want to come to one of our SWAT groups, we only have two more meetings. We actually operate on a almost like a semester schedule. We meet January through May, and then we meet again September through December, just like on a school year. In the summer, we take off, but we do different events throughout the year. We have a SWAT retreat in August. It's August 3rd. Would love for you, if you have any interest in joining us for a SWAT retreat, you can email me at doug@swatradio.com and just say, hey, send me more info about the retreat. It's in St. Augustine. It is a one-day 8-to-8 retreat, where we have two sessions in the morning, and then you get to go do an event. We have fishing in the ocean. We have fishing on the intercoastal waterways. We have sailing. We have skydiving. Yes, that's right. You can go skydiving. We have shooting. We go and we shoot skeet. We had pistol and rifle shooting. A bunch of guys go out and do that. We have golfing. And then we have some guys that just hang around St. Augustine. Then we have a nice meal at the end. But that's August 3rd. And if you would like to be a part, the cost is $65 before, like, I think it's like July 5th or so. After that, it goes up to $90. Plus, you got to pay for whatever event you do. So if you're interested, just send me an email to doug@swatradio.com about the retreat. That's a summer SWAT retreat. And if you want to join us, though, at one of our meetings, we meet Wednesday morning, 6:30 a.m. out at Woody's. We meet from lunch here at the Salem Center, 7235 Bonneville Road, on Wednesdays. And then we meet Wednesday evening at Eastside Community Church for our SWAT group up there at 7 p.m. On Thursdays, we meet at Jumpin' Jack's House of Food over on San Jose Boulevard. And then Fridays, we meet at the Village Inn at 9 a.m. But we got two more meetings, and then we'll be breaking for the summer. And so we just about can start now because Brad finally made it to the station. That was, isn't that fun? You know, I did that last week.
I was going to say, it was last Monday, I think you did that.
I think, are you on? Are you unhooked? I don't even know if you're hooked up. Oh, there we go. Now,
if I'm not,
now
I certainly,
are.
There we go. Yeah, I was listening as I was coming in, and you said, yeah, it's practical, relevant teaching. It's me and Brad. Or somebody.
Yeah, it's somebody. It may be Steve, because Steve is here. Well, you know, I was talking about the crucifixion, and, you know, a lot of times when we forget that the terrible price that was paid for our to be part of the family of God, and, it, you know, we don't, Jim Dennison said this in one of his articles. He said, you know, God wants us to love the world without needing the world to love us back. We have a hard time with that, but we don't need the world's approval. I mean, when Jesus says to love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, a lot of times we get so angry, and we you know, Tim was talking about it Sunday, how as believers we forget that we don't need the world's approval. We don't need their they're giving us back anything. We're supposed to be here to minister as priests. We minister as unto the Lord. And, you know, yes, we can speak the truth in love to people. It means that when you love people, that's really loving them, not letting people think that what they're doing is okay if it violates God's standards. Real love is telling them the truth even when they don't want to hear it. You know, real,
but today, but today, confronting someone in their sin is not loving. I mean, I'm just talking about what the world would say. It's bigoted. It's this. It's hateful. You know, in the language of tolerance, we're supposed to tolerate sin. And I agree. I mean, you and I have talked about that. If we love somebody, we're going to address the issue of sin. In the same way, you know, stopping our grandsons from walking out in the street is loving. You know, God loves us. He's going to discipline us.
Well, he says that we were bought. Over in John, he says, you know, if you were of the world would love you as its own, but because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world hates you. We have a hard time with that, and we need to remember, if the world crucified the perfect one, why should we be surprised if they make fun of us, if they get angry at us, if they do things at us that we don't like? We just need to remember that we are his. He bought us with a price. And I was sharing, you know, my dad and I were talking yesterday, and he just said, boy, you and Brad were really getting on it on sin the other day, talking about the cross and sin. And people don't talk about that anymore in church. They don't talk about it. And I was sharing about the one church out west that they won't have a cross in their church. They won't preach on sin because they think it's offensive. And to me, that has to break Christ's heart. I mean, it has to break the Father's heart. Mm-hmm. That the very thing that his Son endured, the thing that Paul says, may I never boast except in the cross of Christ. Think about that for a second. May no boast come out of my mouth except the cross of Christ. In fact, and I think it's 1 Corinthians 2, where he says, you know, I'm just going to preach Christ and Christ crucified. I mean, when you think about it, We focus so much on the resurrection, and we're going to get into that this week at SWAT. But the death of Christ is what gave us freedom.
Mm-hmm.
It was the death of Christ. And I think it's as equally important as the resurrection. You know, when you look at those two events, we give a lot of attention to talking about the resurrection and the hope of the resurrection. But what about the hope of what happened on the day he was crucified? Without that penalty of payment, then
we're lost.
Yeah, we're lost.
Hopeless.
Yeah, you know, they were shouting, "Jesus, come off the cross! Jesus, come off!" If he had come off, we had to go up.
That's right. Exactly.
I mean, that is something that we don't think about a lot. And you know, I kind of laid out this week. We're going to look at a couple of things, but I wanted to just go back over last week again and talk about something that people may not have heard. We were talking about Simon of Cyrene when he was pressed into service.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Simon was a guy who was just probably doing his yearly pilgrimage to go have his sins atoned for at the Passover with his two boys, Alexander and Rufus. And we know what his two boys' names are because of the fact that Mark records them. And that's a little bizarre when you look at all the books of the Bible, when you see the centurion or other people, you don't even know what Peter's kids' names are, do you?
No. Mm-mm.
We don't even know. I don't think we know any disciples' names, any of their kids' names.
Right.
But we know Simon of Cyrene's kids' names. So there would have to be a reason, and we talked about if you go to Mark, who was written to people in Rome to try to convince them that Jesus was the Christ, he was the Messiah, he mentions Alexander and Rufus. But at the moment that Simon of Cyrene was pressed into service, what do you think was going through his head? I mean, here he is on this pilgrimage, and all of a sudden, he's coming from Libya, which is a ways away.
Right.
He probably didn't even know what was going on there.
It's like wrong place, the wrong time.
And the Romans press him into service. Fear probably went through his mind. Oh my, are they going to make me be crucified? Are they going to beat me? And because people feared the Romans at that time. And then what ended up, what he thought was a bad thing, turned into an awesome thing, because we know from the book of Romans that Paul wrote, he mentions in chapter 16, a Rufus over in, I think it's over in Romans 16, verse 13, he mentions Rufus in a memory, like at the end of the book, when he's saying, remember this person, this person, this person, and his mother, which many commentators believe was Simon of Cyrene's wife. So Simon of Cyrene, what started off as a very bad thing, ended up being possibly a thing that brought his whole family into the kingdom. And God, a lot of times, will press us into service. He will press us into things that we don't like that may end up being the very thing that bring us into his family. Because I think for a lot of people that live in this country, we have a inoculation against Christianity. Just enough of us to give us a taste of it, but we don't really know him, and we don't know him the way we're supposed to know him. And we go along cruising through life with this biblical knowledge that has been regurgitated to us, but we don't have a thirst for the Bible. We don't have a desire to depend on his Spirit. We don't pray to him. And yet we will say, well, I'm a believer. I'm a follower.
Mm.
And I think there's a lot of people that are going to hear, Lord, Lord,
yeah,
you know, I did this for you. And he says, depart, I never knew you.
Well, we're going to take a break here in just a second. But, you know, it's interesting. Vic and I are going to be sharing our testimony at an event tonight. That's why I can't make the movie tonight. But
oh, yeah, SWAT movie night tonight.
But that's actually part of her testimony. She knew who Jesus was, but she didn't know Jesus as Lord. And, you know, I think about, is it Romans 10, where it says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that Jesus is raised from the dead, you will be saved. But, you know, that idea of lordship, you know, Jesus may be known by many, but he may not be known as Lord.
No, and and we talked about Judas with that. Well, when we come back, you know, think about this question. Am I living the American dream and just add a little Jesus onto it and think I'm good with him because it don't work out too well?
No.
He did not come so you could live the American dream. He came so you could be in his family and live as his child. So,
well, listen, glad I could slide in here a little late. I didn't get a ticket, though.
Better late than never.
Yeah, exactly. Glad you joined us today, and we are going to be right back. If you have any questions or comments, you can always send those to ask@swatradio.com. You're welcome to call us. We are live broadcast, 844-777-SWAT.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkston, Georgia. Online at ilovethetruth.com.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm John Scott. On a day when Wall Street has plunged significantly, what is President Trump's reaction?
Reaction is very simple. China has been taking advantage of the United States for many, many years. I'm not just talking about during the Obama administration. You can go back long before that.
The president singling out the agriculture sector to stress his intention to protect their interest against Chinese tariff retaliation.
Out of the billions of dollars that we're taking in, a small portion of that will be going to our farmers, because China will be retaliating probably to a certain extent against our farmers. We're going to take the highest year, the biggest purchase that China has ever made with our farmers, which is about $15 billion, and do something reciprocal to our farmers so our farmers can do well.
The president's remarks spoken this past hour during a meeting with Hungary's prime minister. U.S. markets are getting slammed, the Dow at one point down over 700 points. Also at townhall.com, don't come to Iraq. That's what the U.S. Embassy in Iraq is advising Americans due to what it called heightened tensions between Washington and Tehran.
The advisory was posted on Twitter. Although not a new warning, as the U.S. has long advised its citizens against travel to Iraq, the current notification comes as Washington deploys an aircraft carrier and military hardware to the Persian Gulf in response to what it calls unspecified threats from Iran. Iraqi leaders are juggling a situation which sees its two allies at severe odds after President Donald Trump pulled his country out of the 2015 nuclear treaty with Iran and reimposed stern sanctions on Iran's energy and finance sectors. I'm Karen Shamas.
Swedish prosecutors say they're reopening a rape case against WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange and will seek his extradition after he serves his 50-week prison term in Britain for jumping bail. The Dow is down 551 points. More on these stories at townhall.com.
You're seeing some delays because of an accident on Butler Boulevard on the westbound ramp from Southside Boulevard. The on-ramp is closed. Also, there's a crash in St. Johns County on I-95 at the southbound ramp from the International Golf Parkway. And there's a disabled vehicle on the West Beltway, 295 at the southbound ramp to the exit at 103rd Street. Partly cloudy with a chance of scattered showers tonight, low 61. Tuesday, sunny, high 84.
Jack a dull boy, but all work no guy has left Jack with a lost soul. But he's moving on full steam, he's chasing the American dream. He's gonna give his family a finer thing. Not this time, son, I've no time to waste. Maybe tomorrow I'll have time to play. And then he slips into his new BMW and drives farther and farther and farther away. 'Cause he works all says things will get better, better in time. So he works and he builds with his own two hands, and he pours all he has in a castle made with sand. But no wind and no rain are coming crashing in. Time will tell just how long this kingdom stays.
Welcome back to SWAT Radio. Steve's over here jamming out. He's loving that
well,
tune.
I love that. How long will his kingdom stand? He's talking about what Jesus said in Matthew 7. You can build your house on a rock or you can build it on sand. And if you chase the American dream and you just want to add Jesus as a compartment onto that, that doesn't work. That's going to be a house built on the sand. He did not come to give you the American dream, which some people teach that.
Oh, absolutely.
He came to give us eternal life. When he died on that cross, that was for eternally taking care of our sins and the wrath of God. And we talked about, or at least I talked about before you got here, there were two things that took place that day. One, we see what separation from God looks like as God turned his face away from his son for the first time in history ever. And then we also see salvation displayed that day, not only through the thief on the cross, but I believe, Brad, the centurion that was there and some of the Roman soldiers. Mm-hmm. And so there were two things that came out of that crucifixion: separation, a display of separation, what separation from God looks like, and then what salvation from God looks like. And we want to get into that. But I want to remind people, we didn't go over this last week. There were seven sayings of Jesus on the cross. And, you know, a lot of people have a problem with God's wrath. And two or three of the sayings are dealing with his wrath, actually. And the wrath of God is nothing more than anger at evil. You know, that's how goodness responds to evil. When goodness sees evil, it gets angry.
Right.
And I don't think anybody listening would struggle, and I use this illustration, that if somebody was really in, like a child, like a 2-year-old child, was tortured or hurt by an adult, nobody would have a problem with viewing that with anger. Right. They would be very upset about that. But the reason is because that child was couldn't take care of themselves. They were defenseless, and this adult took advantage of them. And so that would be righteous anger. That's what God's anger is. Sure. His wrath is righteous anger at evil. And what
he's both loving and the judge.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you wouldn't, you go into a courthouse, you expect the judge to uphold the law.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if he doesn't, then he shouldn't be on the bench. Correct?
Yeah. He's got to be just. He's got to be just, you know? And so, hey, I think we have a caller. Welcome to SWAT Radio.
Howdy.
Who's calling?
Scott.
Hey, Scott.
Scott, where are you calling from?
I'm here in town.
All right. Well, how you doing?
Good, good. Following along with your days, and I wanted to share Hebrews 10, 30, and 31.
Say that again.
Hebrews 10, 30, and 31.
Okay. Hebrews 10, 30, and 31. Talking about the wrath of God?
Yes. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God.
Yeah. Mm. It is. A lot of times we don't give that the credit that the scriptures do. I'm going to read it. Hebrews 10, 30 and 31. For we know him who said, vengeance is mine, I will repay. And again, the Lord will judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And I think people sometimes forget how fearful that is. You know, when you see a storm, a powerful storm rip through, or an earthquake, or volcano exploding, those are natural representations of power, that, you know, a hurricane ripping through, whatever it is. None of those compare to his wrath. And when Jesus endured that day on the cross, it was a real picture of really what spiritual death is, when God has to turn away from us. And that's, I think we minimize the impact of that a lot of times.
Well, I think that modern-day Christians are like Job. You know, at the end, after he's been through it all, you know, and he's basically bragging on his righteousness, and then God shows up and puts him in his place, and he said at the end, you know, before I'd heard about you, but now I know you. You know, most Christians, they've heard about Jesus, they've heard about God. If they might have heard about the Holy Spirit, but they've never had an encounter with him. And an encounter is what will transform your life.
Yeah.
Amen.
In fact, hey, thanks for calling, Scott.
Yeah, Scott,
appreciate
great,
you listening to SWAT
call.
Radio.
Great call. It reminds me, I think you actually brought it up in the study last week, is that when you have an encounter with Jesus, it changes your life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you walked out in the parking lot out on JTB or 295 and got hit by a truck and then walked in here and said, hey, sorry, I'm late. I got hit by an 18-wheeler out here. You know, it would change your life.
Yeah.
You know, when you encounter the living Christ, it's going to change your life.
Well, it should.
Well, it should. But, I mean, you even kind of addressed it, I think you did last week, is the idea that we come to Jesus as we are, but he doesn't keep us as we are.
Yeah.
Well, but that's the, you know, that's not the American Christianity.
Well, no.
It's, I want you to accept me for who I am and help let me stay the way I am.
Well, I think part of it is we've made it, like you use this phrase a lot, transaction, a transactional thing. And we see people who say, oh, yeah, I want to follow Jesus, and they want to try them like they try drugs or alcohol or anything else in their life. And they say, I'm just going to try. I'm going to believe.
Mm-hmm.
And are you sorry for your sins? I'm sorry for my sins. And they say it almost robotically, almost wanting their or wanting their consequences to be taken away. But there's no spiritual illumination in their life of who they really are and what he really has done and who he really is. Because, and I've used this illustration before, if you were backing out of your driveway and you accidentally run over one of your neighbor's children, would you feel emotion? Absolutely, you would. You would be devastated. So to think that you put Jesus on the cross, your sin put him on the cross, the perfect Son of God, the most perfect being that ever lived, who walked on the face of the earth. He did nothing but love people, and you put him through that horrendous suffering and pain. You did, and I did. We all did. But to think that you had a part in that and feel nothing means you don't really understand what happened.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't understand who he is and what he did. You don't understand who you are and what you did. Yeah. And I think we just made it very transactional, and in an effort to get so many people to just pray a prayer. And, you know, Brad, I've started doing this, and you may remember I've shared it at SWAT. If you offended your wife in a really bad way, and let's say you came to me and you said, Doug, I messed up, and I don't know what to do. And I said, okay, Brad, you need to go tell your wife you're sorry, and you need to tell her you don't want to do that anymore and you're sorry for hurting her. And I went with you, and you said, I can't do it. I need you to help me. I need you there. And I go with you, and we go knock on the door, knock, 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 and she answers, and I'm at the door with you, and you look at me like, I don't know what to do. And I say, okay, tell her you're sorry. And you go, Vicky, I'm sorry. All right, tell her that you don't want to ever do that again. Vicky, I don't want to ever do that again. And you repeat what I tell you to say. How convinced is she that you are authentic in what you're doing?
Yeah, not very convinced.
I mean, that is what we've done. And listen, I'm not saying, maybe you're listening and maybe you had an experience where somebody led you because you didn't know what to say and they guided you and God used it in spite of that. That's fine. But I'm just saying that people in the New Testament said to Peter, what must we do? And he said, repent and believe. He did not say, pray this prayer after me. He told them what to do, and they had to go to God, and they had to say before God, I'm sorry, I am a sinful person, please forgive me. They told him. And so if you want to tell somebody, pray something like this, that's fine, but please let them say it in their own words. Mm-hmm. My goodness, have we come so far that now we put words? That wouldn't work in any other realm of life, but we think God, that pleases the Father. It bothers me.
No, I know, and it bothers me too, because we have it is so superficial that there's no brokenness. I mean, I think of When I think of repentance, I think of brokenness. Blessed are the poor in spirit. It's those where Jesus says, you know, listen, you better be broke in spirit. Mm-hmm. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Glad you joined us, SWAT Radio.
If you'd like to contact SWAT Radio, the toll-free number is 1-844-777-7928. That's 844-777-7928 or 844-777-SWAT. You can also listen to this program through the WTRJ The Truth app from the App Store or over the Internet by accessing www.swatradio.com. We'll be back shortly for further discussion and to take your calls.
We're so grateful for having people like Tom Neal Truck Company sponsoring SWAT Radio. Tom Neal Truck Company is located at 417 Edgewood Avenue South in Jacksonville, Florida. Tom Neal is a full-service franchise truck dealer for Freightliner, Western Star, Volvo, Isuzu, and Sprinter vans, offering new and used truck sales, service, parts and truck rental and leasing to the North Florida and South Georgia truck market. More information on Tom Neal Truck Company is located at www.tomneal.com. That's www.tomneal.com.
Trading watches with the heart of darkness, going to blows with your fear and calling. Never go until it's stripped away. The part of you has got to die. Change the standard. It's not enough to just feel the flame. You gotta burn your old self away. Hold on tight a little longer. Work don't kill you, make you stronger. Get back up, this is a corner. You can't change without a fallout. It's gonna hurt, but don't slow down. Get back up, this is a corner.
Welcome back to SWAT Radio. Brad and Doug here this Monday afternoon. Who's that? Need to Breathe?
Need to Breathe.
Great
Hard
song.
Love.
Mm. You know, I was thinking, Scott, who called in a minute ago, mentioned Job. I was thinking about that. I think it's chapter 38 where the Lord answers Job. He says, who is it that darkens counsel by words without knowledge?
Mm.
You know, it's this just dress for action like a man. I love that. I'll question you and you make it known to me. You know, Doug, we live in a time where we want to fit the world into the gospel. We don't want the gospel to fit into the world. You know, and we have succumbed to a society and a culture that has watered down the gospel, watered down truth, because somebody says it offends, you know.
Well,
listen, we should be offended. God's offended by our actions.
He is. You know, I saw a billboard not too long ago that said, God is not angry with you. And he's not angry with you if you have Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the Bible's pretty clear that we are enemies of God. We are at odds with God. We are enemies of God if we don't have Jesus in our life. Until we have Jesus as our Savior and Lord, can't have him one without the other. Hmm. Until you have that, God's your enemy. Now, does that mean he's going to bring down hellfire and damnation on everybody who's his enemy right away? No. Because not everybody stays his enemy. That thief on the cross got salvation that day. In fact, you know, we talked about the seven sayings of Jesus on the cross. The thing that's so amazing about Jesus is the first saying on his cross, three of the sayings are in Luke and three are over in John and one's in Mark and Matthew. The first saying was when they were nailing him or right after they nailed him to the cross and they put him up. He said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. What he was saying is they think they're just crucifying another insurrectionist. They don't know that they're killing the Son of God. They don't know that they're, you know, torturing and taunting and doing all this stuff to the Son of God. And what struck me, Brad, about that is, I mentioned this in a couple of SWAT groups, is have you ever hurt yourself, or better yet, have you ever had somebody in your family, either your Vicky or your kids, hurt you really bad by stubbing your toe or mashing your finger or popping your head? Have you, in all the years you've had families, have you ever had that happen?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. All right. Do you feel like being nice at that moment, or kind or merciful?
Yeah, no.
You're very more concerned with the pain you're feeling, mm-hmm. and wishing you could say something probably you don't want to say,
right.
that would be mean, ugly, or whatever. Well, here Jesus is. He's been tortured, and he's been nailed to a cross, and he says, "Father, forgive them." That is an incredible act of mercy, as a demonstration to us as believers, that even when we're under pain, even when we're under the path of suffering, we can draw from the same power that Jesus had to do that, because he lives in us if we're his,
yep.
to be able to do that. And I think that's there for a reason for us, to show us the incredible mercy he shows, that the same thing that Ephesians 1 says, we've been blessed with every spiritual blessing. We have every bit of capacity to do that if we are his, to say that, to say, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do." And so we go back to this loving people that hate us mentality, because I'm telling you, more of a dividing line is coming every day in our culture. You know, when you weren't here, I was talking about the they're trying to take God out of the oaths now at the Congress.
Mm-hmm.
The Democratic leadership have said, "No, we're going to just remove God. We don't need to be talking. You know, we don't need to be saying before me, before God anyway." Well, that's something that's gone on for hundreds of years, and they're taking it out because, well, they don't like the reference. And it's not so much what it did, as it's just the fact that they don't want the reference. It's just another way of taking the reference to God out. But you know what is so incredible? That God, in this country called America, put his indelible imprint all over a bunch of historical things in our country.
Mm-hmm.
You can't walk into the halls of Congress without seeing representation,
right.
that God was present at the founding of this country, and a part of this. You can't see a lot of the historical documents and the writings of George Washington and Jefferson. And listen, I'm not saying they were all the best believers. I'm not saying they all lived perfect lives, but a large majority of them were men who feared God.
Yes.
And they honored the Bible. And so, you know, Jesus said this first saying, "Father, forgive them," I think, to model, getting back to that, you know, when people are being unloving to you and they hurt you, he says, pray for them. Pray for those that persecute you. Bless them. I'm always reminded when I hear that of that boy named Peter from Kazakhstan, who was a very, very young Christian who was being beaten into a coma. He didn't know he was going to be in a coma at the time. He was being beaten by a gang members over there in Kazakhstan with five other Christians. And Peter's just blessing them. He's saying, "I bless you in the name of Jesus." And that's all he's saying. He's saying it one right after another. And the other guys, when he finally came to out of his coma, said, "Why were you doing that?" He said, "Because that's what Jesus commands us to do." And that was his little understanding. I mean, you know, he was just saying, "I bless you, I bless you, I bless you," to try to be obedient. And I think we could learn a lesson from Peter in his attitude of forgiveness that Jesus modeled. But the second saying was to the thief. And I think this is a good reminder for us, too, that it's never too late in this life to yield to the Lordship of Christ and to receive him as Savior. Because the thief on the cross in Luke chapter 23, verses 39 through 44, tell the story. Luke tells the story of these two thieves. Now, we had covered last week up through 44 in chapter 27 of Matthew. So between chapter 27, verse 44 and verse 45, Luke 23, 39 through 43 happened. And that's where one of the thieves has been watching Jesus. He's been watching him be tortured. He's been watching him say, "Father, forgive them." And he's been watching how he responds. And maybe in his mind, his memory goes back to Isaiah chapter 52 and 53. And he remembers that this is going to be a guy so disfigured and so marred that Messiah is, that he's unrecognizable. He's not going to be esteemed. Maybe he remembers that he's going to be among thieves or robbers.
Right.
You know, maybe he remembers that, but something in him, the Holy Spirit triggers to say, hey, Jesus. Well, first he says to that other guy, he says, don't you fear God, which is the beginning of wisdom. Don't you fear God? And then he says, we deserve what we get, but this guy is innocent. So he acknowledged their sin. Two, he acknowledged Jesus' sinlessness. And third, he acknowledged the resurrection when he said, when you come into your kingdom, now keep in mind where Jesus was. He's on the cross being crucified. He says, when you come into your kingdom, remember me. So he not only acknowledged that Jesus was going to die, he acknowledged his resurrection, and he acknowledged that he was Messiah. Tommy Nelson said that that guy may be one of the greatest theologians in history, because he took all those theological truths and compacted them down into two sentences.
Well, and you know, we always becoming a Christian is easy from the stamp theologically. It's recognizing you are a sinful person. You're separated from God. And what's the answer? The answer is Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, in a moment, I don't know how long it would have taken here with this robber on the cross. You know, how long this dialogue went on. But yeah, in basically just a few short verses, you clearly see a man who's broken. He recognizes who he is and who Jesus is. And you and I talk about this a lot. When you open the scriptures, what is it you're looking for? You know, what I'm looking for is I want to know who he is.
Mm-hmm.
And then who I am in light of who he is.
Well, and here's the thing. He recognized his need.
Mm-hmm.
We deserve this.
Yeah.
But he recognized that Jesus could meet the need. And I find it interesting that Jesus did not tell him to pray a prayer. He didn't tell him to do anything, but he said, today you will be with me in paradise, based on his faith and what he had already proclaimed, that he wanted to be with him. You see, that's what it means to be a Christian, to want to be with Jesus and to not want to be who you are. That's the thing. He wanted to change that man, and he said, today, that's going to happen.
I think of the scripture where it says it's the kindness of God that leads to repentance. That man on the cross had to be watching the kindness of Jesus right there. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing.
Yeah, and then he responded by saying, hey, don't you fear God, when the other thief... Remember, this thief had been throwing things at him too.
Right.
And he saw something that changed. And that's what I'm saying. The hope, if you're listening today, it doesn't matter if it's in a marriage, doesn't matter if it's in a family relationship, in a business relationship. It's never too late to say, Jesus, remember me, change me, change my heart. He can change your heart because of what Christ did on that cross. There's nothing that is impossible for him to change in you. In any marriage, in any family relationship, any business relationship, he can do it. But the question is, will you follow him? That's the key.
Yeah. Will you make him Lord?
Yeah.
You know, the same power that that resurrected Jesus is the same power that we have.
Yeah.
You know, to live a life that honors him and brings him glory. So.
Well, hey, I appreciate you guys listening today, and hopefully you can join us again tomorrow on SWAT Radio.
Yeah, we'll be back. Join us. Go to SWATradio.com. You can listen to past broadcasts. If you have a comment or question, we'd love to hear from you. Doug at SWATradio.com, Brad at SWATradio.com, and we'll see you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow.
If you missed a SWAT radio broadcast this week and would like to hear any show in its entirety, then go to SWATradio.com. Click on Past Shows, where you can listen to the broadcast. Also, if you're looking for a band of brothers that gather around God's Word to be a part of, then go to SWATradio.com and email one of our hosts, and they can get you plugged in to one of the local SWAT Bible studies. Tune in next time to explore how SWAT Radio is strengthening spiritual...
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine.